This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 12 من شهر رمضان المبارك 1444 الموافق لثلاثة من شهر أبريل 2023، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك، كتاب الله عز وجل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات، ويغفر لابن كثير، ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today, inshallah, we continue from where we stopped last time. I believe we were talking about Surah Al-Buruj. And we talk about the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati lahum jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anhar dhalika al-fawzu al-kabir inna rabbika al-shadid innahu huwa yubri'u wa yu'id wa huwa al-ghafuru al-wadud dhul arsh al-majid fa'ali lima yurid halak hadith al-junud fir'aun wa thamud bal illadhina kafaru fi takthib wallahu min wara'ihim muhit bal huwa qur'anun majidun fi lahun mahfuz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threaten those people who are disturbing the believers and testing them in the iman. He is all aware of what is going on and his batsh is shadid. And also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds a person accountable of his dhulm, that person cannot escape that punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about his ability to do whatever he planned to do. He says he is the one who initiated the creation, wa yu'id, and also he is the one who has the power and ability to bring them back for accountability. So all of those injustices against the believers and the good one and against anyone, a day will come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has the ability to bring people back. A day will come where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring everyone back for accountability. But at the same time, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door for somebody who is willing to repent. No matter how far a person have gone through, is still, I mean, entitled to the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you wish that, if you want. They can just go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will be accepted as long as they fulfill the conditions of tawbah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghafoor, the one who forgives all the sins with no exception. You know, with no exception. If a person is repent from any shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his repentance. You know, except those people who died upon shirk and they do not repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those ones, when they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will face the anger of Allah, which will not end. Yeah, they will go to hell, and there will be no time for them to come out of hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ghafoor, al-wadood. You know, he loves his creation, and he forgives them. And also in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing, there is a wisdom in that. So seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala letting those criminals to reach the believers, is based on the wisdom by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least you can say is to elevate them in ranking. The Prophet said there might be set to a position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which a believer cannot reach unless if he receive a test from Allah. So Allah will send a test for him so that he will attain that position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the test is meant to what he called to elevate him in ranking. Although he finds it and something that discomforts him, but at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him happy. قَالَ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sahibul arsh, the creator of the arsh, the owner of the arsh. the one who invented the Arsh. So Al-Arsh is the greatest creation that we ever heard of. We don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beyond that, if they do exist, but this is the greatest thing among the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum. Please. The greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Arsh. And to describe that, some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, it is mentioned that the earth, you know, the dunya, if you take it and put it in the first heaven, it would be like a ring in the desert. You know, that's how it is, first heaven. And if you have to take the first one and put it in the second one also, it will be like that. And there we go until you reach the heaven number 7. So honestly speaking, as we always mention here in this platform, that if you are to, subhanAllah, try to imagine how big is the heaven number 7, you cannot do that. How big is the heaven number 7, you cannot do that. And even our own dunya is beyond that of our comprehension. So when you compare it with the heaven number 1, also the dunya will be so insignificant. Yeah, the place where we live also is, and subhanAllah, if you compare it with some of these stars that we are shown by the scientists, you know, the dunya, something technically not be even seen, you know. Compare the world with the sun. Sun, it's with some other thing that they show us, which is part of the Milky Way galaxy. You know, subhanAllah. And all of these things that you hear, the seas and space and whatever, you know, take them as the dunya and put them in the heaven number 1, disappear. They will disappear completely. And take the heaven number 1 also to 2, and we go until heaven number 7. All of these creations, the heavens and the earth, if you were to put them in the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you put them in the kursi, they also be like that. The whole thing, if you put it in the kursi, they will also be like that. And we are told by the companions that al-kursiyu mawdi' al-qadamayn. Yeah, the sunnah that kursi is mawdi' al-qadamayn, the position of the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is kursi, you know, this is kursi. That's why Abdullah Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas says, wal-arshu la yuqaddiru qadarahu illallahu azza wa jalla. He says, Al-Arsh, nobody can give the right estimate of the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, because if you couldn't understand, you couldn't comprehend how big are those creations that we have mentioned, and also all of them, if you put them in the kursi, because kursi itself, if you put it in the Arsh, it would disappear. You will not see it. Then, and it's tadhhabu nafsuka kulla madhhab, trying to understand how big is the Arsh, you can't comprehend that. I just want you to feel why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, inform you. You know, He wants you to understand how great He is. He said, Dhul Arsh. Because if you go through Arsh and what Arsh is all about, and then you know that the one who created the Arsh is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He doesn't need it, you know. Doesn't need it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يحتاج إلى أحد من خلقه. It's أفمن هو قائمٌ على كل نفس بما كسبت, you know. قائمٌ على كل شيء. That's why the scholar said, الصمد أي الذي تصمد إليه الخلائق كلها في جميع حاجاتها. العرش يحتاج إلى الله عز وجل. The arsh needs Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Allah doesn't need our arsh. That's why the sunnah says, كان الله ولم يكن شيء قبله. There is to be only Allah سبحانه وتعالى in existence. And that's it. So every single thing that He created is in need of Him. And He doesn't need anyone. قائم على كل شيء. So if you have this in mind, you will understand how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the arsh, and this arsh, the Prophet was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Haqqah, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُ يَوْمَيْذٍ ثَمَانِيَ. 8 angels will be carrying the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And one of them, if you are to travel, from his shoulder, you spend 500 or 700 years. At what speed? We don't know. That is a weak narration that says at the speed of birds. You spend from here till here 700 years. And that's one angel. It's very good for us to understand these things, you know, because it helps you to be humble in this life. Because what is the point of being arrogant, you know? Those ones, what they are saying constantly is Subhanallah, Subhanaka haythu kunt. Glory be to you, Ya Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever you are. And if those huge creation that can swallow the dunya in a blink of an eye, you know, if they are always submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humbly submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why not us? We're in one of these places which, if you compare it with the smallest, you know, thing, we don't, it's like we don't exist at all. It's where arrogance doesn't fit us. And arrogance is the rejection of the truth and disrespecting others. And you know that this is what Allah SWT wants, you don't want to take it. That's arrogance. Yeah. You advise to do something that is correct, you don't want to take it. That's arrogance. It doesn't fit us at all. You Allah, it doesn't fit us at all. Those huge creation of Allah SWT, they were not arrogant at all. So we have to learn and take from them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala istawa ala al-arsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala settled on the arsh, istiwa on yaliqu bi jalalillahi azza wa jalla. The way it fits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's it. As Imam Malik says, al-istiwa ma'alum wal-kayfu majhul wal-su'alu anhu bid'ah. So he says that we know what istiwa means according to the language. Linguistically, you know what is al-istiwa. But to go deeper in these things is innovation. A person shouldn't ask. Because if it is something that we should go through and we can comprehend, and Allah SWT wants, He would tell us. But since He did not say anything, then we should act like the companions of the Prophet. We let the sifat of Allah SWT pass in the way it came to us. So as I said, this is a very, very, very good a point of action for all of us. To see how Allah wanted to introduce Himself by telling us that He is Dhul Arsh, yani attribute those huge creation according to the way we see His power. Yeah, Dhul Arsh, the one who created the Arsh. If you want to know, that's the peak of greatness. And this is just what we can comprehend. Allah, Allah's mercy is much greater than that. Look at this hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. That he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qama fi nabi kam kalimat? Khams kalimat, he says. Five words or five sentences. Khams jumal. Number one, inna Allah la yanam wa la yanbaghi lahu an yanam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep, and it is not appropriate for Him to sleep. Yeah, because why do we sleep? Because of the exhaustion, right? Fatigue and weariness and all of these things. Then your body cannot resist the collapse, you know. This physical weaknesses and any type of weaknesses doesn't affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَلَقَنَا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَرِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fatigue or weariness never affect us. We're not tired after that creation. Nothing changed. Just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the way He is. So he says, لا ينام ولا ينبغي له أن ينام. The Prophet ﷺ was telling the companions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't sleep. ولا ينبغي له أن ينام. Allah says in Surah Al-Rahman, يسأله من في السماوات والأرض كل يوم هو في الشأن. And how many creations we have here with us, you know, in UAE, you know, alone, you know, in Malaysia, how many creations you have? And I say creation, I'm talking about everything, you know. Yeah, just restrict yourself to the place where you are. Countless number of creations. Wallahi, you will never be able to count how many creations is. Every day you go out, you see things, you know. Things you know, things you don't know, you see new things, you know. Imagine on earth, you know, and also inside the sea, which some are telling us that the creatures in the sea, they are more than the one on the land. Yeah. I was watching a documentary. They said every 10 days they discover new things. Wherever they go, they see new. Wherever they go. Yeah, that's what their ability can tell them, you know. They do not go everywhere. That's where they can go. There are places where they cannot go. SubhanAllah. Yeah. Things are unbelievable. Under the sea are taking place. But we see them. Science capture them. SubhanAllah. Those guys, they are atheists. They don't even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. Good presentation of documentary, but they attribute it to nature. وَلِيَذْ بِاللَّهِ. Which nature has nothing to do with this. Nature itself also is created by the one they're attributing his acts to the nature. So many amazing things, you know. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sunnah Allah alladhi atqana kulla shay. If you swim in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, you get lost. You get lost. You know, scholars have written a lot of, compilations that talks about the wisdom in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also shed light on the creation. And this is what they can see. This is what they can witness. One of the most amazing thing that I see under the sea, they discover is the boiling water that reaches 400 degrees. You know. And they bring them, see, so they have to be very careful. So the temperature is so intense in that place. And you can see the water is boiling, you know, under the sea. And they found that creatures living in some part of it. And those creatures, they live in a place which the temperature is around 80 degrees. They live in that place. And they mentioned that if you take them out of it, they die. That's where they live. That's why he says, هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ. And subhanAllah, all of these are not increasing them in iman. They keep going, you know, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُرِجِ اللَّهُ فِتْنَتَهُ فَلَنْ تَمْلِكَ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْعَ. If Allah doesn't open the eye of a person to see, to have the basira, they will never see it. لَأَمُرُكَ بَلْ أَبْصَارُ تَنْفَعُ أَهْلَهَا إِذَا لَمْ يَكُلْ لِلْمُوْسِرِينَ بَصَائِبُ. If there is no basira, I will never benefit. They see things which we don't see. They tell us amazing things, you know, subhanAllah. They are supposed to be the best in iman. But subhanAllah, they are the worst in kufr, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine all of these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them, with no exception, each and every one of them needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single second. Wallahi, none of these creations, none of us can live without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without support from Allah for a second, it's none of us survive. Nobody can live. Imagine he's supporting. I just wanted to feel, understand the word in Allah alayna. Walayna baghila wa'anina. It's the most complete. Sleep is inappropriate for him. And just by looking at the activities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing, you understand that, yeah. Somebody who has this must be the most powerful who doesn't need a sleep. That's why it says كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْن. Yeah. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْن. Because everyone is asking. You're not asking. Your body is asking actually, indirectly, because all the time you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support you to live and to survive. قَالَ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامَ قَيُّومُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The one who takes care of the heavens and the earth. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't sleep, so he takes care of the heavens and the earth. It says, يَخْفِذُ الْقِسْطَ وَيَرْفَعُهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise, you know, the mizan of the righteous people and bring down the mizan of the evil ones. Some scholars said it's referring to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing people up and some of them bringing them down. Yeah, you have a person who is very insignificant in terms of, you know, virtues in the community, you know, but because of the knowledge, he'll be on top of everyone. Yeah, that's why the poet says, Al-ilmu yarfa'u baytan la asasa lahu wal-jahlu yahdimu bayt al-izzi wa sharafi. You see, knowledge will raise up a house, bring it the most excellent house, which doesn't have a root, you know, in the community. But it will make it on top of every house. Wal-jahlu yahdimu bayt al-izzi. And the house of honor, nobility, you know, in the community, in dunya, in terms of the dunya wise, will be brought down because of what? Ignorance. قال يخفض القسط ويرفعه يرفع إليه عمل الليل قبل عمل النهار وعمل النهار قبل عمل الليل. And this is the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم على لغة أكلوني براغيث رايث يتعاقبون فيكم ملائكة بالليل وملائكة بالنهار. And you have the ta'aqub of the angels replacement. This one will come and take the fowls, you know, and those will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the old ones, you know. Yeah, the good deeds, the record, you know. You have two types of angels on you. Those who come for the evening duty and those who come for the morning and afternoon duty. And they have the exchange of the duty during Fajr and Asr prayer. Yeah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those people who walk with you in the morning, they will be going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the deed, the night deed is being compiled. And those who are with you in the night, they will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the day deed are being compiled. Again, so he receives our actions every day, you know. You know, subhanAllah. قَالَ يُرْفَعُ إِلَيْهِ عَمَلُ اللَّيْلِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ النَّهَارِ حِجَابُهُ النُّورِ. And the hijab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a light. لو كشفه لأحرقت سبحات وجهه منتهى إليه بصره. The hijab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between him and his creation is a light. Yes, the light most likely the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to when he says نور أن أراه. Abu Dharr asked him, did you هل رأيت ربك؟ قال نور أن أراه. Did you ever see your Lord? He says that was a light between me and him. How is it possible for me to see him? As long as that light exists. So he says the hijab between Allah and his creation is a light. If Allah is to remove it, whatever the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala catches will be burned. Yeah, that's how powerful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These type of nusus, we really need to read them from time to time. It helps a person to understand whom is he dealing with. Yeah, that will help a lot in terms of staying away from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate and don't like. قَالَ ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدِ. So ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدُ, either you're referring to the arsh, they say al-majid, you're referring to the arsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the arsh with this greatness and honor, you know, it's so big, you know. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing himself as Al-Majid. Do you get the idea? Both are okay. Both are okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Al-Mu'azzam. You know, Mubajjal. Muwakkar. Fa'alul lima yurid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the all-powerful. And he has the power. And that's why fa'alul lima yurid. He does whatever he wants. Nobody can claim this. Bring one person on earth who is fa'alul lima yurid. There is nobody. Wallahi, nobody. Yeah. Basically, they might tell you, yeah, whenever they decide something, they do it. But that was restricted. That was the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't want that to happen. They are not fa'alul lima yurid. They break, they kill, they do whatever. But when they reach some people, they end up. Who disabled their hands? And they became incapable of doing anything to them. Have a look at the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, when that king was trying to touch her, what happened to his hand? Became stiff, you know, very, and he paralyzed. He couldn't do anything. But this is Malik al-Kasir, you know, whoever stands on his way, he breaks him. But why can't he do anything here? Yeah, so it's not for Alul Limayrid, you know. Those guys, if you see them, you know, they will say, I do. Afalu ma asha, I do whatever I want. You know, Namruz, you know, told Ibrahim alayhi salam that he also kill, you know, give life to others, you know. So useless, you know. History says he killed somebody physically and he tell the other one to go. And so silly, you know. And he says he give life, you know. So Ibrahim alayhi salam realized that he's doing with a stupid person, you know. He decided to put an end because how much he's going to kill if he keep on telling him no, you know. So he told him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ya'ti bi shamsi min al-mashriqi fa'ati biha min al-maghrib. They have sun that comes from mashriq, from the east. Please bring yours from the west. فَبُوهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرِينَ هَا هُوَ فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ كَذَّابُ لَيْسَ هُوَ فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. The only fa'alu lima yurid, doer of whatever he wish, is Allah. So that's why if you want this, if you wanted the support of somebody, you want to do tawakkul, wallahi, you have nobody to depend on except Allah, because he's fa'alu lima yurid. Whatever he plans for you has to be executed and nobody can stop it. You Allah. We have seen this a lot. Yeah, sometimes we'll be looking for something, everyone will not get it, you know. Everyone will be deprived. You go and get it. Or sometimes you'll be in a very critical situation where people think that you cannot survive, you cannot succeed, but Allah is going to get out of it. Because you depend on fa'alu lima yurid. The one who, when he plans, it has to happen, you know. Nobody can do this, you know. But he, when he says, this is supposed to be like this, wallahi, it has to be like that. I just want us to feel it so that, inshallah, tomorrow when you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you just relax. The only one that you can say, take the back seat and relax, is Allah. When he stands for you, wallahi, take the back seat and relax. It will come. You will see those people who are, usually depriving you, they will come by themselves and pass it to you. So, tatawakkal ala man? Ala Allahi azza wa jalla wahdahu. فعال لما يريد. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هل أتاك حديث الجنود فرعون وثمود. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to study, you know, did you receive anything about the story of those junud, the armies, the evil ones, فرعون وثمود. فرعون and his, you know, فرعون, he has his own people, Ali فرعون, but because his criminality is really beyond the limitation, sometimes it's like the whole thing is him, you know. That guy is really drunk, you know. Even say he is Rabbu Kul Mula Ala. That's really drunk. He deserves that statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَعَمْرُكَ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَثَمُودَ. فِرْعَوْنَ and Thamud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Fajr, right? Yeah. He says, Al-Fajr, أَلَمْ تَرَكَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَحَدٍ يا رمضاتي العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. I really love these mentions because in everyone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell you who they are, how much those guys were established on earth, which caused them to be so arrogant on earth to disturb everyone. He says what? بِعَاد وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَاد وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَاد. These are the leaders, criminals on earth, you know, according to the history that came to us. You know, الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Looking at them, for the most arrogant people, yeah, those guys, they even say, مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. Who is that can stand our power and ability? You know? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِرْعَوْنَ وَثَمُودَ. فِرْعَوْنَ and Thamud. You know, so Thamud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave them the inheritance of what? The art, you know. Inherited from that. They're so strong. They go to the mountain and design their houses through the mountain. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got them. These people would shout, those ones with the hurricane, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَصْبَهُ لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. Those guys who says, مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً, they were destroyed by wind. مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً, the wind got them. They built the earth. وَعَمَرُهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا عَمَرُهَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَصْبَهُ لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. فَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبٍ. Those guys, they are supposed to go back to the history to reach about the perished nations, you know, to see what happened to those nations and what did they do to deserve that punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated those guys. Yeah, it will help them to avoid falling into the same cause because they will receive also the same result. Yeah. لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبٍ. They see nothing except rejection of that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to them, which is the absolute truth and the thing that guide them to the success in this dunya and the akhirah. وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. He knows whatever they are doing. Whatever they are doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that. Persecution against the believers and punishing the believers and putting them into trial and test, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything. Well, huwa Qur'anun majidun fi lawhi mahfuz. So this guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Quraysh and the rest of the humankind through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, they rejected it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fi takdhib. But this Qur'an is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tanzeelun min hakeemin hamid, and Qur'anun majid. Al-Muwakkar, Al-Mu'azzam, the greatest book which has the guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hudan lil-muttaqin. You know, this hudan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it general, not restricted to any specific type of guidance. That's why the focus is not history, the focus is not this and that, you know, of the dunya matters, but it is the most accurate place you can go and get the most accurate fact of history. Yeah. Whatever Quran tells you cannot be wrong. Yeah, you might reject it now, but sooner or later, you're going to see the reality and come and falsify what you used to believe in. Fi lawhin mahfuz. This Quran is placed there in lawhu al-mahfuz, the preserved tablet. So everything has been written, not just the Quran, everything that is taking place in this dunya and that took place and that will take place in the future is written. The Prophet said, أَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ الْقَلَبُ. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is the pen. قَالَ لَهُ اكْتُبُ. And then after the creation of the pen, قَالَ لَهُ اكْتُبُ. He told the pen, write. Yeah. And that's the meaning of the other narration that says, أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَبُ. And the first thing that comes between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pen, right after the pen has been created by Allah, is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the pen to write. What happened in the past, and what is happening, and what will happen in the future. So everything is captured. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We did not neglect anything in the book. And the best interpretation for this is the lawhul mahfuz. The other one talks about the Quran, which says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. That's the Quran. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُذِلَّ قَوْمًا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَاهُمْ حَتَّى يُبَيِّنْ لَهُمْ مَا يَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let a people go astray until He explained to them what they should be staying away from and what they should be doing. Ibn Taymiyyah says, حَتَّى يُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ مَا يَتَّقُونَهُ بَيَانًا شَافِيًا. Yeah. بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. But now our approaches are saying that بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُعَقَّدٍ. Yeah, because you have to go through very complicated courses for you to understand something that is very simple. Yeah. So that the cheaters can cheat on the way. Because if it is too complicated for you to understand, as at the end of the day, Muslims are very lazy in reading. They get idea? Yeah. We're very lazy in reading. That's why we always get into trouble, because we don't read the uqood. Contract between you and somebody. Yes, okay, where do I sign? Here, okay, let's sign. And then tomorrow when problem happens, you tell them, no, this is my right. You said, no, it is not. We already mentioned in the contract, you didn't read that? No, I did not read that. That's your problem. Get the idea. So this is the system nowadays. You know, we make things complicated so that you will get bored. Just accept it in the way it is and keep moving. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Quran is a guidance. Guidance to every means to success with no restriction. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it be lisan in Arabiyyin mubiyyin. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do, He explained it very clearly. Nothing in Islam is difficult to understand. Yeah, matters might be a bit confusing, but not complicated. Like the issues of inheritance, issues of talaq. They're very straightforward, but since there are so many and so many tiny, tiny issues are there, you know, based on the actions of the people, the hukum is there, very clear, right or wrong. Do you get an idea? But understanding the actions of human beings sometimes might be complicated, especially when they want to complicated. Yeah, because when they come to you, they will keep on giving you long lecture, something that could be presented to you in 5 seconds. They give you long lecture until the time you don't even know what exactly they want from you. You have to tell them. And then, Az-Zubda, so now you're just asking about this, right? Yeah. Because unnecessary things will be attached to it, sometimes with good intention and sometimes with bad intention. Yeah, because there are some people who will give you a case according to the fatwa, the kind of fatwa they want you to give them. Yeah, so they'll present the case in that way. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to understand the Quran in the way it is and to apply it in our life, in every aspect of our life. So this is the end of the surah, inshallah, and this is the best place to stop. Billahi Azza wa Jalla, in the next class, we will be taking another interesting surah, which is Surah At-Tariq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Do you have any gift of questions? Or a lot? Okay, start. We have little time, but a lot of questions.
Allahumma amin. This question is, assalamu alaikum to the Kedah Sheikh. Between fulfilling promise or words said to someone to do something, or we just repent to avoid impact marriage, perhaps, which is important. Fulfilling promise or words said to someone to do something, or can we just repent to avoid impact marriage, perhaps, which is important?
I don't understand this manuscript.
Fulfilling the promise. If a person has promised something to somebody, but they don't want to do something about it, or
they don't want to keep that promise.
Yeah, they don't want to keep the promise. It's related to something marriage. So they might have asked somebody to that, I'll get married to you. But now they're asking that can we just repent to avoid the impact on the marriage, because maybe the person is already married now.
And they do not keep that promise.
They don't want to keep that promise.
Yeah.
And they want to repent instead.
No, when they promise, you know, they have to go for the kafara. You get the idea? They repent when they... It depends actually on the reason why they are going against the promise. Yeah, especially when it comes to the marriage. They promised to give him, which they shouldn't at the first place. But if they did promise to give him, but then later on they realize that this person doesn't qualify. Yeah. They have to go against that promise, even at the last minute. Last minute meaning the father is just about to say the words to Kaibnet. You will lie, they have to. And close their eyes. People will talk, people will shout, people will say whatever they say. It's better than destroying the life of your daughter, you know, or the life of your son. You know, you break it. As long as you know that this person doesn't qualify, you just break them. That you cannot say we already arranged where it. No, it doesn't go like that. This is marriage, this is life. Yeah, it affects almost everything in the life of that person, you know. So you should change that promise to that which is better. Prophet Allah said, if you promise and you see doing otherwise is better, you just go against your promise but do the kafara. Get it? But if there is no justification to breaking that promise, but still, marrying somebody is optional, it's not wajib. A person can change, the girl can change her interests. Just like that. But if they don't have any excuse, you get it. They repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and apologize to that person and then do the kafara. That's it. There are different things, but they carry the same effect. Kafara to Yameen, kafara to another kafara to Yameen.
So if you do the then say that last name, he just said that promise. Then kafara, he has to do kafara.
No, he put a person.
Promise. He didn't say that last name.
Yeah, that's the issue of defining promise. Do you need to say nazartu lillahi and af'al? kada, and then it is the promise that you do the kafara, or if I tell a person, I promise you to give you this, I will do the, I will give you this, and then I break my promise. Yeah, for sure, a person put himself in the category of the munafiqeen. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ثلاثٌ أو أربعٌ من كنا فيه كان منافقا خالصا ومن كانت فيه خصلة منهن كانت فيه خصلة من نفاق حتى يدعها. One of them is when he promises, he breaks the promise. That's the quality of nifaq. A Muslim doesn't do that. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about nazar. So are we supposed to restrict it nazar only lillahi azza wa jal? لِلَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَفْعَلَ كَذَا. Or this is nadhr is mutlaq, including the nadhr that you do for somebody else. Yes, that's the zahir. If I tell you, Ahmad, I promise to give you this. And then tomorrow I realize that, no, I can't. Yeah, I have to do the kafara. Let's go out of my nadhr by the kafara, and then that's it. Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. That Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to beat his wife 100 times. Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he wanted to go against that promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. خُذْ بِيَدِكَ ذِغْفًا فَاضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَثْ إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا. So just take ithq, you know, of the nakhl, small pieces of things, combine 100 of them and eat it once. That's it. So I will not go against the promise. And the scholars took from this that those who cannot afford punishment because of circumstances, if you are to beat him 100 times, he might lose his life. And Allah did not say, kill him. They take the concession and combine the thing and hit him once. And then does it. Finish the questions? Okay. This is a long issue as the Shafa amongst the scholars, whether it's wajib or not. Majority of the scholars believe that it is not wajib, and they have their own evidences. Minority believe that it is wajib, and they also have their own evidences. Each one of them has a very straightforward evidence. Yeah, those people who are using the hadith of Arabi says, is no, except if you're going to do the sunnah. And they said that wajib is those five areas, other than is not. The heavens, when the Prophet ﷺ went to the mi'raj, Allah says, hiya khamsun wa hunna khamsun. La yubaddil al-qawl ladayy. He said, my word will not change. And those ahadith also, the Prophet ﷺ, when somebody asked him if he just suffice and restricts himself to the wajibat, can he go to Jannah? Khamsu Salawat, you know, can he go to Jannah? And the Prophet ﷺ confirms, yes. So if you look at this, and also the hadith of Al-Thalatha, Al-Ladina Ja'u ila Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, came to the Prophet ﷺ, and all of them sat down in the masjid. There was no mention that they prayed. And based on the knowledge we have from the companions, that if those guys pray, those companions prayed before they reached the Prophet ﷺ, it will be mentioned, but it doesn't mention it. They said they just come to the masjid and go straight forward to the majlis, and the Prophet ﷺ did not ask them to stand up and pray two rakat. Yeah, and though the other opinion says no, it's wajib for you to pray. Why is that? Because Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Idha dakhala ahadukum al-masjid fala yajlis hatta yusalli rakatain." If one of you get inside the masjid, he shouldn't sit without praying two rakat. In another place, the Prophet ﷺ told somebody who came to the masjid while the imam is making khutbah, he says, "Kum fasalli." He said, "Idha dakhala ahadukum al-masjid wal-imamu yakhtub." You know, when you come and the imam is making khutbah, and you know the khutbah, you're supposed to listen. You're not supposed to do anything that would distract you. But he says, don't sit, pray to rakat, well, you just vihima. It's make them very short. But he said he should stand up and pray. So you can see they're using this also strong evidence to support their side. That's why it is inappropriate for a Muslim to stay away from it. Although you might be inclined to the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars, but why do you put yourself in the trouble and doubt? When you go to the masjid, just pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you agree we agree it is wajib or not wajib, when we just go to the masjid, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rakat and then sit down. Yeah, except in those critical times where the prayer is strictly prohibited, like when the sun is about to set and when the sun is in the process of rising. And also the middle of the day, the mid day, yeah, when the sun is in the Kabir Sama. Yeah, Qabla Zawal bi Daqai. Around 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, before the Zawal Shams. Yeah. Those are the first Sa'at, the Prophet used to tell them not to pray. Ba'd Salat al-Asr, Umar used to beat people when they pray Ba'd Salat al-Asr. And Abdullah ibn Abbas says, "Wa kuntu usayiduhu alayh."
I work in an organization where there are non-stop tasks. Office time is 9 to 5. If I talk with people or open any social media, let's say I spend 2 hours in these things, will my income be haram? And if I complete my work to do, I have to ask immediately for the next task from the manager, or can I rest because tasks are never ending from 9 to 5? And what about the prayer times? Can I take breaks?
Of course, he has to go and pray. He must. We start with this. He must pray. Whether the company accepted or not, this is not within the right of the company. They put out the condition, you know, it's useless. He's not supposed to accept those conditions. And even if he accepts them, he has to violate those conditions and go, even if he's going to lose his job. Yeah, he has to pray on time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for doing something else other than the job, this one I will propose for him to talk to them first. Yeah, I cannot work like a machine. Yeah, sometimes when I finish one task before I join another one, I do this and that. Is that okay? Yeah, to discuss with them is better. Because if they write that you have to work from 9 to 4 or for 9 to 5, you know, and he accepted that, and non-stop, and he accepted that. He signed the contract, you know. If he does something else, this is their right. He is violating their right. That's why he has to read and think before he signs.
He mentioned about social media.
What is it?
If he takes some time off and he's
used... No, as long as it is permissible for him to take some time off, then it's okay for him to do whatever he wants, you know, as long as what he does is halal.
Next question is, where there is an alternative for the parents, is it okay for one to go for i'tikaf instead of staying home and lending a helping hand?
Yeah, as long as one of them can go, they should do. If one of them can go and it will not affect the tarbiyah of the house, then it's okay. If not, it's better for them to do their responsibility and wait until the time they have some ease, and then they go, all of them.
Can people buy a house or a car using Islamic loan for necessity because there is someone that said it was halal opinion? Let's say there is still riba elements.
Yeah, that's what I try to understand. What does someone said halal and there is riba element in it? This is beginning. I need to understand what does that mean. How do they do it first? Yeah, I need to see what exactly they are doing. Anything that involves element of riba is haram for a person to go for it, unless if he's in a state of darura and that's life-threatening situation. Yeah, or a situation whereby he will be in a state of difficulty that might lead to death. Although he will not die in normal circumstances, but it might lead to great discomfort in life and hardship in life, which might lead to death. These are the things that can legalize riba. Otherwise, all of this intensive amount of evidences that are fighting riba, showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hated it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say taking riba is similar to waging war against me, and no barakah in riba, and the one who will eat the riba will go to hell and they will remain in hell, and all of these things, what is the point? The lowest thing you know, of lowest level of zina is like committing a zina with the mother of a person, you know. All of these things, where do we put them? So I have to see what exactly as alone is all about. But as he said, element of fear, then it's enough for him to know that it's prohibited. He should just fear Allah SWT and look for the halal options and the solutions. That's it.
Sister wants to know, since the making up of a fast for the spouses who break it through physical relationship is to fast 60 continuously, what is the case for those who do so in an illegal way?
The same. They have to do the kafara, and also on top of that, they have this sin of the zina. Yeah. But those, both of them are illegal, but that one, at least this one does the relationship with the woman that is halal for him. Although at that time is not halal for him to approach her. It's like the time of the height. You get it? But the other one committed zina. So he has the sin of zina when he does it with another woman who is not related to him at all. So the sins of zina is already on him. And not just normal zina. Zina in Ramadan. Yeah, not in the night of Ramadan. In the day of Ramadan. Yeah, you get it? So I just want us to understand how bad is the situation of that person. 60
days plus the one day?
Yeah, that's all of them. Any thing that necessary to kafara, he has to fix it first and then do the kafara. Kafara is separated, you know, from the day he will be making up. He has to make up that one day and also on top of that, 60 more days.
And how does a woman do that?
Hmm?
Continuously.
She's also fast 60 continuously, unless if the thing which unnecessarily break it, then no problem. Right after it stopped, she has to continue. Just like a person who is sick. A person starts the kafara fast, and then sickness comes. And between him and Allah SWT, he knows that he cannot fast. It will be very difficult for him. So he posts the fast. Right after he is okay, just continue from
just
that.
Continue.
He has to immediately right after he can afford. He doesn't start from zero. Yeah. Otherwise, sisters will never do kafara in their life. Except a few. There are some few who are suffering from the irregularity in their menses. It comes maybe after a month.
So even fasting as a punishment has the same shurut and qawaid as the
All of them. Because fasting is fasting. That's why we keep it in the way it is. We don't modify. Some of them said, where you are supposed to feed, you know, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said feeding first. They said, don't know. This one, you have to look into the nature and the status of the one who is doing the kafara. If he's rich, you tell him no feeding. Because feeding is very simple for him. He can feed maybe 100 people, not 60. They said he should go for the fasting. But that's a joke. Yeah, Allah did not make any difference. Rich, poor, anyone. Yeah. There is a wisdom behind that feeding. Yeah, that's why Islam favor al-ibadat al-mutaaddiya, al-ibadat al-qasira. When you feed, this is ibadah that extended, you know, and reach others. When you fast, this is yours. Yeah. So Allah SWT made the last one. Freeing a slave, you know, is the greatest, you know, because you are removing a person from those shackles and liberating him so that he will be productive, you know. Because having the mentality of the slaves really hinder any progress. Slaves cannot be doing anything, unless if you're talking about slaves in Islam. Even in Islam also, they are restricted a lot. Heavy duty by their masters to go and provide for them. Yeah, but when you grant him that freedom,